Unscripted.
Unshackled.
Uncouth.
What you're about to hear is for mature ears only.
It's Miguel Fuller.
I would show anything. I'd show my hee-hee and my hoo-hoo and my ha-ha.
Holly O'Connor.
Hey, Daddy, you want to take this to the bedroom?
And Scotty the Body.
I am officially not only the grill daddy, but I'm a hot grill daddy.
Oh, wow.
It's the Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
Only from Hot 101.5, Tampa Bay's new hit music.
What's that little smirk on your face, Scott, for?
Thinking of it's funny being on the other side of the screen. I just get to look at y'all, and half the time I just get entertained by making faces, hoping that you see them.
Half the time I'm gonna be honest, I'm not looking at the thing. I got
but that's what makes it special when you guys get a glimpse of my smile.
Okay.
Holly and I were just saying, was it the after our staff meeting yesterday? What were we doing? There was some meeting we had on video. And I was like, I love but hate Scott sometimes. I'm like, so just full of joy and happiness, and I love it. And then sometimes I want to punch you in the face for it. So, it just depends on my mood.
I think it was that, we were doing, intros around or whatever around the meeting.
Oh!
And so Scott...
Wait.
But I want to share exactly what Miguel said about it. But
wait.
Scott, do you remember what you said? We went around and we were introducing, because there's somebody new that's joining the team in the promotions department or something.
Yeah, so we do weekly sort of conference call on Microsoft Teams.
We do it twice a week.
Twice a week on Microsoft Teams. Between us and our Orlando sister station, because our boss Will is over both. And he was introducing two new people, and they said hi. And then he was like, all right, everyone go around and say your name, how long you've been working for Cox Media Group. And so we're all like, hi, Miguel. I've been here for 5 years.
I just came over and stood behind Miguel. I'm like, it's Miguel and Holly.
We're Miguel and Holly.
Hey,
we've been here.
And then
I think, Scott, you were the last one to go. And
I was the last one to go.
And he was like, Scott, tell us who you are and tell us exactly what you said.
I said, hey, I'm Scott. I'm the producer on the Miguel and Holly show. And, it's funny because every time I go to bed and I close my eyes and I put my head on my pillow, I think, how could this team get any better? And then, boom, here we are with two new faces. Welcome to the team.
Behind the scenes, Miguel had his video on, but it was not showing his face. It was open to the studio. I didn't have my face on my video. So we look at each other and both of our mics are off, and Miguel goes, I love and hate Scott so much. He's like, if anybody tried to come for him, I would kill them.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I want to kill him.
I was like, I kind of imagine that's how your dad is a little bit, where he's an upbeat person, but you're upbeat all the time. And I feel like your dad's like, Scott, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Yeah. It's funny because I've been home now more than I've ever been in the past 5 years. And so there's definitely been those moments where I'm like, I'm uppity, I'm losing my, but I also get that personality trait from him, his annoyingness and his randomness.
Yes.
That's me. Mm. I get that exactly from him. So it's funny when we're both on that level. But obviously we're in a very stressful time period.
Right.
And so sometimes he comes home just stressed out from work and I'm in an up. And so I'm like, yeah, how are you? How was your day? And I want more. I'm trying to dive deep. But that I do things very intentionally. Even yesterday when I did that, the behind the scenes and what was going on in my life is I was not feeling it. I was literally during that meeting, I was like, screw this. And I felt my mood going down. And I was like, for me, I do things so I stop it in the moment. And for me, going above and beyond and not even acting, but using that exuberant energy, that put me back in a normal state of mind. And so I like to catch people off guard because I do believe that it's like you throw those, randomness, that extra energy in it, you could help switch somebody else's. And also it's annoying.
Yeah.
But
it's annoying
it's
in a
really
good way.
It's hard to hate
right.
it. Exactly. It's like, it's hard to hate it because you're like, damn it, that's so annoying, that positive punk.
Yeah.
But it kind of made me laugh. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, I feel like that's sort of like a hallmark of a lot of radio people is, and we all do it in our own way. Like, that's, yes, Scott, how you do it. Whereas, like, mine is always, like, the sexual innuendo. Like, I'm the person that's always, if someone says something, I'm just going to turn my mic on for just one second and be like, mm-hmm, I bet you did. And then I turn it off.
It's, like, inappropriate. That's Miguel's known for, like, sexualizing everything, which you would think wouldn't fly with HR after a while, but it always does.
No, because it's never offensive. It's never outright, like, ooh, look at your titties, girl.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's never anything. It's always like, you know, our boss. Oh, like our boss, Will. He's actually moving from Orlando here to St. Pete.
Which is awesome.
And he was like, I just wanted to move. And everyone was like, oh, are you moving for a person? And like, and I knew the answer. And so I was just like, mm-hmm, you getting that fancy new apartment downtown, aren't you? For who?
Yeah, Miguel's always that person. So, yes, you're right. Scott does this, like, exuberant, like, jolly, you know, like, motivational type thing, and Miguel is always sexual. I don't think I have a personality. Like, I'm quiet. I don't even know what it is if I have one.
Kimmy B, yesterday, she said that you were very, like, radio sometimes until you cuss, and then you, like, break through that, like, I'm, like, you put on that, like, Holly radio professional, and then you break through.
I thought she was talking about the other woman.
No, she said that about you, I believe.
She was talking about you.
Oh.
Yeah.
She did say that about
because
you.
Because I guess I wasn't really paying attention.
Oh.
But I guess this new woman, like, said shit or whatever. And, like, everyone lost their minds.
Right.
I didn't hear it. Like, I was half listening.
Right.
But I was hearing her speak, and I absolutely didn't hear her say a swear word.
Mm.
And, like, everyone was, like, going, literally, like, there were pings in the text about it. Like, people lost their damn minds. So I popped on, and I was like, I didn't even know she swore.
Mm.
Like, why are we pointing this out? I don't know. Maybe do I swear in meetings?
Sometimes.
No.
If you feel passionately. Like I say, it's not like you get on and you're like, what the fuck is up, y'all? Hey! Are we going to play this fucking Ariana Grande song or what?
Yeah.
Shit.
I don't even know.
Titties.
I'll have to look into what's it called, like, team meetings persona is. Because at this point, I feel like I'm so over having two of them that I'm just like, if anyone adds to the meeting to make it longer, I will give you the evil eye. That's okay, though.
That's one of the interesting things about, like, team meetings that, you know, no matter what industry you work in, mm-hmm. if you have moved to work from home and you have them, and everybody's talking about how everybody wants to sort of overcorrect since you're not in the same space by having a bunch of meetings. And with every different business, it's a little bit different. But I definitely feel it with ours, like, and especially... They're never for me, like, all spread out. Like, when I have to do the corporate stuff, and then when we do ours for the radio station, and then there'll be something that Holly and I have to do for something else outside the station. And I'm like, I've literally been talking for 4 hours. Or I feel super bad for, like, our boss, Will, who, like, literally I'll call him at, like, usually it'll be, like, right before CrossFit. So I'll be driving to CrossFit. And so it'll be, like, around 3 o'clock or so, and we'll be chatting. And then he'll be like, oh, hold, I got to get off for this call in Orlando or this call for Tampa. And I'm like, when are you not on a work from home call?
I can't imagine. And like, there has always been a joke, even before the pandemic, that Cox Media Group, CMG, actually stands for Cox Meeting Group, because we have so many damn meetings about things that probably don't need to be meetings. But like, it only got worse with the pandemic, because now it's like, oh, just a Zoom call away.
Well, you know, I will say one of the things that I've learned in doing this corporate project is they use the term, and they're very strict about it, being respectful of your time. Like, when they say that the meeting is 15 minutes or 30 minutes, as soon as it hits, that person's like, I want to be respectful of your time, so we're just going to wrap it up here. If you want to stay on, you can, but no obligation. And usually most people just log off and they're like, all right, bye.
Yeah.
But I'm like, wow, we need to do that, like, in real meetings when people start coming back.
Yes.
Because how many times do you have, like, 2-hour meetings and you're like, after 45 minutes, nothing is accomplished.
Well, it's exactly, like, the same thing with, like, kids that are doing stuff on Zoom. And, like, when we had to finish, you know, school last year on Zoom and whatnot, there is a finite amount of attention that you get from kids for their best work.
Right.
After that, it could be something that they would get or learn or know, but they cannot. And that's like adults too. Like there's a capacity for new info and for like being an active participant. And it's probably about an hour and that's it.
And especially with the work from home situation, because I find the fact that I can just turn off my camera, because I'm a natural multitasker. Like I always want to do several things at once. And so when you tell me that I don't have to contribute to this meeting, I'm just listening. Please believe I'm going to be cleaning the kitchen. I'm going to be folding some laundry. I'm going to be vacuuming. And then, it was so awful.
I'm sorry. How are you vacuuming in a meeting?
I've done it before.
Okay.
Like, especially if we do like it. No, I don't want to say. Just in case Will's listening. But yesterday when we were doing our meeting and I had to leave the station.
Yeah.
So I had my AirPods in and I was listening to the Microsoft Teams and I was walking out the door. I saw John Brennan, who's over our sister station, The Bone and The Eagle. I haven't seen him in like since March.
I'll be honest with you. I forgot about John Brennan.
Right. Like
I don't remember that he existed for a second, but hey, I like John Brennan.
Right. I saw him and I was like, oh my God. Cause like he's lost weight. Oh. He's got this new haircut. And I was like, okay, John Brennan. And so like, he was like, well, how you been? I'm like, I'm good. I'm on this Teams meeting. He goes, oh, I understand. But let me tell you this thing. And I was like, yeah. And meanwhile, like I hear Will talking and somebody else talking and I'm trying to like slowly walk away from John Brennan, but I'm like listening. And then I hear someone go, Miguelito. And I was like, wait, oh, fuck. I missed that. Like, I needed to say something, and I forgot what we were talking about. But I was like, and then you popped in, Holly.
Oh, and it was serious, too.
Yeah, and I was like.
Because Will was like, so, you know, Miguel, talk us through what the audience is feeling with Breonna Taylor.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yes. Yeah. And, like, it was silent. And then I was, and he's like, Holly, Amy, you feel free to jump in. And so I was just like.
Oh, no.
You know, well, we talked it through. Nobody really commented on it because they really didn't. I mean,
right.
We didn't get calls. We didn't get many interactions. I mean, I didn't look in my DMs yet, and that's what I said.
Right.
Scott piped in for a minute, and then I think you I don't actually think you found your way into that
conversation. No, I don't think so because, like, I heard someone say, and I was trying to get in, and I was and then you start talking, and then So then I was trying to, like, catch up without being like, hey, I'm sorry, someone caught me in the hallway.
It was about Breonna Taylor.
Right, and I was like, damn it. But that's the problem when you're multitasking with these work-from-home meetings because I thought, okay, well, we're in a safe space. Like, we've moved on from, like, the information phase of it or the asking questions. And
nope.
I was like, damn it, I got caught.
No.
That was my fault.
It's fine. I actually had to do some voice work. So towards the end of the meeting, I was like, it was awkward because I'm in here and I had like muted the meeting and I had to turn the video off so that they couldn't see that I was doing voice work.
Oh, no.
So I'd like cut my lines and then I had, which is a fancy way of saying that you speak your pieces into the microphone and then you stop. And then I would turn the thing back on and like try to catch up as I'm like editing and then I would turn it off again and I would do another one. I was like, I'm not cut out. I don't multitask well.
No, Holly, you do not.
I have never been. I'm much better with one task at a time until it's completed and then I move on to the next one. I hate multitasking. So that was difficult for me, but I did.
It's really funny, like in knowing people and working with someone for so long, like I know exactly when we have something coming up on when to tell you about it and when not to tell you about it. And sort of like, because in my day when I organize, you know, what we're doing on the show, I organize like what I need to do, what Scott needs to do, and then what Holly needs to do from like outside of like your trending and entertainment.
Right.
And then I organize when I know that you're working on it, because I know if like at 6:05 after we do the Tampa Bay train wreck.
Uh-huh.
If I go to you, Holly, at 7:20, we're going to do this and I need you to have this ready. You're going to be like, what? I'm still working on trending right now. Get the fuck off.
Am I scary though? Like, I don't mean to be like,
No, not scary. I just know that like,
it's a lot.
You need it in silos. Like you need it. Like you're doing this right now. You're doing this task. Whereas I know with Scott, I can throw a bunch of stuff at him at one time and he's going to catch it because he has a little sticky pad and he writes it all down. And I'm still learning, Scott, but I know a lot of how you work. And that's just part of my job in sort of being like the project manager is like knowing how everybody works. And then I also have to know how I work and what will stress me out. Yeah. And so I got to prepare for that as well.
That's a lot.
There's so much more than what anyone would think goes into talking for 4 hours.
You have no idea. It's bananas. Like, I do wish sometimes that, like, anybody who's ever been like, say, work for 4 hours and then go home. I just want them to come in one day and just see what happens. In fact, if people ever, we don't do this now, obviously, but, like, when people have come in before, I'm always, and I think we all feel this way, we're always a little terrified that they're going to try to just talk.
Oh my God.
Like, it's just a casual environment between songs. We're just shooting the breeze.
Yeah, feet
up.
And
then, you know, they're over here like, wow, so look at that microphone over there. Is that the... And I'm like over here like...
No.
I... Mm. You...
Nope. No. No.
Sweetie.
Well, see, and that's the thing. Like, if we had one of those... You know, like Bobby Bones, Elvis Duran, Ryan Seacrest, where there's like 20 people doing stuff, then we could definitely have fun and chit chat in between songs and segments. But like, and I've noticed in the 5 years that we've been here, as we've played less music and we talk a little bit more, that we don't have as much fun in between songs because we're always getting ready for the next thing.
Because we don't have as much time.
No, whereas before it was like six songs between the times we talked.
What else were we going to do?
Nothing.
We're like, hey, how many different ways can we use this Snapchat filter? Go. And then like 5 hours later, we'll be like, oh, I got to talk again. So yeah, it definitely has evolved. It's more at the pace of like when we were towards the end of Panama City, when it was like four people in the studio
We
were constantly always doing something moving forward.
And interns. And
interns.
That was a big old show we had. That was fun.
It really was sprawling considering the size of that market.
Yeah.
But kudos to us.
Listen, we were doing it, Scott. We had a four-person show and interns too.
Yeah.
Girl, we were getting it, honey.
A little crazy.
We went from that, and then when we got here, they were like, y'all can talk for 2 minutes, three times an hour.
Yeah.
And good luck.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're here 5 years later.
Look at that.
Two to thunk it. Scott, was it scary when you first started coming in with us?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it was a little scary, but at the same time, like, this is what I wanted to do. And so I was just so like driven to just be there and just learn. And so I wasn't in there to like I do pretty well at reading a room. And so when I walk in as people were working, like, I'm not going to be like, all right, now's the time to start asking my questions. Like, no, I'm going to wait for you to, you know, find the time and then ask if I have questions. But when I first walked in, I was like, okay, like, I'm here. How could I stay here? And so,
That's just one of many, many reasons why you are still here, because immediately it was like non-obtrusive.
Right.
And that's how it has to be. That's why it did work out with our former producer, Ryan, so long, because he was just a quiet dude anyway.
Yeah, he didn't say much.
So that worked out well. But then like with Scott, you can tell like the different levels of interest, because Scott would stay quiet when the time called for it, but then had like so appropriately timed questions, like, you know, and like interesting insight and just curiosity about the right types of things. So when you find someone that fits like that, you know it. You just know.
Yeah.
Unlike, you know, maybe some other producers who just weren't a fit for the type of show that we do.
Right, right. They enjoyed them as people and they enjoyed us as people. But it's like if I went to work on a country station, like, I would be able to do it because content is content. But when it comes to the type of show they're putting on, or like a really mean rock show, I wouldn't be able to thrive in that type of environment. I could do it, but I wouldn't be able to thrive because that's just not really what I'm interested
in. That's just sorting out the right pieces in the right places and things,
right.
like that.
And I've had people ask me in the past if I would ever do country radio. And I'm like, girl, what city in America would have a gay black man on their country radio station?
It's not even like, would Miguel do it? It's what country station would hire Miguel and think that was a good idea?
Right.
Like, you have to know your audience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is there a country station in, like, San Francisco.
There was one.
Maybe.
That did have a, remember we knew Eddie King. He did the.
Right.
Right. The morning
so like,
show.
Maybe there, but there are very few, like know your, you got to know your audience. So like very few country stations I would think, and this is very stereotypical of me to say, but I'm going to say it anyway because stereotypes exist for a reason sometimes.
Right.
I don't think the majority would, like, I think there'd be a very strong minority that'd be like, this is freaking awesome. But then you'd have a majority of people that are like, what's this? This doesn't feel like it fits to me. And you could hear it probably.
I'm curious. I mean, Scott, you listen to country radio. I mean, you can tell that whenever you talk about country music, that you come alive and that's like your first love. Do you think, and you've never worked at a country station, so you don't know.
Yeah.
But from knowing the audience and going to the concerts and listening to those that type of programming, do you think that they'd ever be accepting of that?
Let's say of you and the host. I don't think right now is not the time. I don't think it would.
Now's not the time.
No?
Yeah, I think, it's hard to say because, like, that audience is very strong in what they like. You know, it's very much like, this is it. I don't like to go outside of the lines too much. And it's just like a majority of us. It's hard for us to just go with the change. Change is very difficult. And I think in our lifetime, that change would be so big that it would be hard to like make it work. I think the problem is they wouldn't give you enough time to finally say like, oh, wait, like I do like Miguel Fuller. Like they wouldn't do it because by the time they get to that point, they'd be like, well, I'm not listening because this or that.
Yeah.
Which is just a sad, I think it's just, you know, some people are just slower with, you know, finding that change and open-mindedness. It is interesting.
I mean, keep in mind, there's still not a lot. In fact, there's very few black country artists.
Right. That's true.
They absolutely exist.
Right.
They're growing.
They're growing, but it's in, and I give that a huge, like, thing. Back when I was doing country radio, there was literally one, and he was like a side player named Cowboy Troy.
Oh, I remember him. Wasn't he a rapper too?
I don't know. I don't.
Nope.
Maybe.
Sorry, no, I'm thinking about rapper Pastor Troy.
Totally different. That is a whole different. Yeah. No, my ex-husband liked Pastor Troy. No, this was a different. He was the big thing about him. He was big. He was like 6'8" or something crazy, and he had teamed up with, who is Big and Rich?
Oh yeah.
I would say Big and Rich. I was in radio, in country radio, in a really interesting time because Big and Rich were sort of breaking down those doors of what it meant to be a country artist.
Mm.
Not that others before them hadn't done it,
right?
But in that era, so I was in country radio from like 04 until 07 or through 07. And at that time, Big and Rich came through with like Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, and it was like very shocking. Yeah, so they rode deep, and part of their crew was Cowboy Troy, and then they also had Two-Foot Fred, who was a little person.
Oh.
You could still, you know, call people midgets back then. It was inappropriate. Still inappropriate. But yeah, so, and I met them. I met them when I went to CRS, and it was so interesting to see how various country stations reacted to what was not your typical country artist. And keep in mind, they're still having issues in country radio getting women in a regular rotation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal. And that was more, I mean, we have a lot more other stuff going on right now, but I remember in 2019, that was sort of a big conversation piece where certainly you couldn't have two women played back to back.
Yeah.
And they're just, the numbers weren't there. You just did not have that many female artists doing their own solo thing, let alone groups, and the awards are always going to the men. And so country radio had been struggling for a while trying to break out of that very boxed-in mold.
Right.
So I think when Cowboy Troy was coming out, that was, like, the first big thing. And then you've had a couple other ones. There was, I think Charlie Pride was, like, way back in, like, the good old, like, Waylon Jennings time, and he was black, and that was, like, sort of a big deal at the time, of course. But then when Darius Rucker, a.k.a. Hootie, decided to go country, it was like, oh,
I
like Hootie.
Yeah.
I like Darius Rucker. And he makes very non-offensive sort of bland music that just works. And it worked. So very, very slowly, that format has started to open up. And now you see more Black artists come through that, and especially ones that maybe aren't huge right now. But remember when Blanco Brown came through, who sort of straddles that line between hip hop and pop and country. So you're seeing more of it. It just takes a very long time. I remember, and I'm about to stop. I'm going to wrap up my ramble in a second. When Nelly and Tim McGraw had a song together in like 06, pop radio loved it. Loved it. Played all over the place.
What song was it?
Over and Over.
Over and Over. Yeah, Over and Over.
Over and Over again.
Tim McGraw and Nelly. Huge. Our country station wouldn't play it.
Really?
No.
No. Wow.
You would not put a rapper on a country station. You could not do it. My and like my boss, who was only a couple years older than me, was like, I think we should put it in personally.
Right.
But he's like, but I'm in charge of a brand that we will get so much. He's like, we're not in a place where we can even handle this right now.
You know what's interesting about things like that? And this is conversations we've had at the corporate level here with our company, is companies are now finally starting to understand their social responsibility and the role that they play in that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we've been chatting about in this new initiative that we're working on for our company is, you know, as a media company, and that's how, and I can't fault your boss for, especially for back then.
Yeah, we're because, talking 2006.
Right, exactly. Like, the goal of what you do is, one, to protect the FCC license, and two, do not ruin the brand and to keep the money and the ratings coming in.
Because, I mean, we were a small market anyway, so any dollar you had to, like, hold on
to. And you don't want someone pulling their money. But you, to me, and this is what I've brought up several different times in the different meetings we've had, is the fact that NASCAR was willing to say no Confederate flags, and to take a stand and say Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
This isn't the NBA. This isn't the basketball. This isn't the MLB. This is NASCAR. NASCAR. If they're willing to put their neck on the line and say, this is what's right, then what the fuck are we doing? What is every other company that's like, well, we don't want to be offensive. We don't know. Yeah. It's either you're on the right side of history or you're not.
But keep in mind, it took until 2020 to do that.
Right.
So that's why it has taken that. So 15 years ago, I can't imagine NASCAR being like,
no
Confederate flag. Like, I can't. It that took the time to get there. And so it's been interesting. So do I think that Miguel Fuller could work on a country radio station, a progressive one? You know, yes, maybe not yet. Like Scott said, maybe not yet.
Right.
Eventually, yes. It's all making progress. It's all forward progress. Just like, and it takes a lot of like-minded people, like the whoever is up at the head honchos up at
Punch.
Have it NASCAR to be like, we're going to do the right thing.
Right.
And then they stand out as such a huge company that they can take that risk and then others can follow suit.
It's really interesting how things are and have evolved and being in the space where it happens. Like, I remember, so on a radio station, there is someone who picks the music. Like, we don't come in the morning and, I don't say, all right, so we're going to play Marshmallow Happier and Dua Lipa and then DaBaby, Roddy Ricch, Rockstar. That's laid out by our music director. Well, when I learned how to, what we call scheduling music back in the day, there were all these antiquated rules. Like, you couldn't have two hip-hop songs together because if someone tunes into our station, you don't want them to know, you don't want them to think that this is a hip-hop station. We are a top 40 station. We play the top 40. So you could never have two hip-hop songs back together. You could never have two women back together.
That was the issue last year in country.
Yeah, like, you couldn't have two women back-to-back. You couldn't have, I mean, we didn't play anybody that, like, had any sort of Spanish in a song back then. But, like, anything like that, it was always, like, it's got to be diverse.
Yeah.
Or you couldn't have two Lady Gaga songs play in within 30 minutes of each other.
There's all these rules.
All these antiquated rules. And then, finally, they now have started to, like, break free of that. And I've seen our boss, Will, in some of the, like, Facebook groups with radio people when I saw someone brought this up a while ago.
Does he comment?
I saw him comment, and he was like, oh, that is ass backwards if you still apply by that rule that you can't play, I'm trying to think, who are two female artists we play right now?
Like Billie Eilish. I don't know, Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez.
Yeah, you can't play those back to back. Or you can't play Cardi B and The Weeknd back to back. Like, you can't do that because they're going to... Listen, if they're listening, they're going to enjoy it. And it's all one mishmash of music and people. And it's more of the swagger that the station has as opposed to we play all the hits. Because everybody plays all the hits.
Oh, God.
Everybody plays it. Everybody.
Yes. It's like, what? Who you fooling?
Right.
We all got the same damn music. We got the same 20 songs. It's how you want to shuffle them today.
So just like every industry right now, because of coronavirus, has had to evolve and change, and it has sort of accelerated the business model. Like, I was just reading yesterday that there is this chain of theaters in Texas, and I don't remember what the chain is called, but what they're starting to do to sort of get any money coming in is you can now rent out a theater.
I saw that.
For like $120 or $150 for like however many people you want. I think once you get to another tier, like if you want food and beverage, then you tack on like another $125 or $150.
Yeah.
But I was like, I would get my friends together, and like they made the option to where like if I put the deposit down and then I send the invite out to all my friends, then you get to pay your $15 and we've already been in a quarantine bubble together.
Yeah.
Then you can have that. And I'm like, that is thinking outside of the box, and that is something that our industry is having to do now.
Our industry has always struggled with that, which is interesting considering we're like a media company, but also we have like live personalities that are probably chomping at the bit to be more creative. But the industry as a whole has been very stodgy and slow moving, which is why we're having this conversation about how as recent as like 2 years ago, you could not play two women back to back, even on a top 40 station.
Yeah.
And it's like, keep in mind what happened with the Dixie Chicks when that all happened with them. They were not just banished from like country radio, but it was like they couldn't even exist as humans.
From everywhere.
It was. And so you take that, and that was about 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
And now we're at a place where artists are speak their mind often and do not face the same type of criticism. So
someone has to come first. Yep. And they have to unfortunately take the brunt of being on the precipice of change.
You know what? They're not the Dixie Chicks anymore, are they? They're the Chicks.
They're the Chicks.
The Chicks. Good for them. They're just they still exist. They're still evolving. So,
And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's interesting as we have this conversation and sort of on the heels of talking about Breonna Taylor and the verdict that came down and everything dealing with that and just how emotional this week has been. And I found myself, like, I almost didn't even want to come into work yesterday. Like, I was almost, like, I woke up Thursday morning and I was like, I just don't want to do this. I don't want to go in. I don't want to have to smile and pretend and just feeling the heaviness of that and all the stuff with my mom. And I'm just like, I'm tired. I'm literally physically, emotionally, spiritually tired.
That's a real thing. And let me tell you how hard it is to be creative, happy, positive, and put that out into a city while you're doing all that.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard.
Oh, yeah. And I totally felt that. One of the podcasts I listened to, and I would love to get them on this show to talk politics one time. It's called What a Day from Crooked Media. I listened to it in the morning, and it's these two hosts. She's a black woman. He's a white, maybe Jewish male. I don't know. But they basically give you like the top headlines of the day. And then they do like their little temperature check of like, and they're like funny with it. And they do a really great job of talking about what's happening in the world. It's obviously a liberal bent to it. But yesterday for their episode, like, she wasn't on it. Like, and then this morning on Friday when I listened, she was like, I couldn't do it. She was like, after the verdict of Breonna Taylor came out, they interviewed a lawyer that they played part of. And then after that, she was like, I can't anymore. It's just, it's so the heaviness of everything. It's just too much. Mm-hmm. And I just feel that, especially as we keep getting closer and closer to the election. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going to happen?
I could not be more glad for not scrolling incessantly on Facebook in these times than I have been. Mm. Like, and I'll come across some of the stuff, like the reason that I got it off of my phone while we're here in studio, because I have Facebook open now in order mostly to respond to messages, either on the Miguel and Holly page or my Holly on Hot 101.5 page. And then I will do like your you know, obligatory scroll through to see, did I miss anything? Am I tagged somewhere? And I will see some of those like nasty, just awful things. And I'm like, how do we fix America?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. And it's really scary. And then, like, if you ever want to go down that rabbit hole, because I ended up down a QAnon rabbit hole yesterday.
Oh, God.
I'm going to have you send me that link to the podcast again, or at least tell me what it is again, because I think this weekend I'll have some time.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't listened to it yet. But it was a more in-depth look at, like, sort of this guy that used to be on the inside of it who's now working against it. And it was just really, it's so fascinating. The amount of like just insanity that exists in the world and what people will fall for.
I just want to talk to someone who is putting their faith in a person that wants to tear our democracy apart. And this is what I'm just having such a hard, like, as
they wouldn't see that way.
Well, see, but here's what I don't understand.
Yep.
Is we are a country that's been around for, what, 300 years now? Over 300 years? And you have somebody that when asked, would you commit to a peaceful transfer of power? I mean, you're talking about the bedrock of our society. Like,
correct.
If there are things that you can question, you know, are you going to get a stimulus check? Are you going to get the coronavirus? Are we going to get fired? Am I going to have a heart attack? Like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to any of those things. I do know that every 4 years we have an election.
Correct.
And then that January, you are sworn in.
Yeah.
That is like the bedrock of us as a republic. And to have someone say, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And if you are a Trump supporter, I'm trying so hard. And I promise you.
I don't get it.
I'm trying to understand.
Right.
Because even if Barack Obama, who I loved and I thought did a great job, if you disagree, email me. We'll have you on the podcast. He would have never said that. And if he did say that.
Could you imagine?
No, I can't.
Oh my God.
If he said that. And if he said that, I would have been like, that's wrong.
Yes.
You need to stop. Because you're putting a dangerous precedent in and putting that and thinking that this is a dictatorship. That is not how we work.
It's not. And I just don't like just this is my biggest issue with not even like. This goes beyond, I feel like, you know, Republicans and Democrats. So you can be a Republican and not necessarily support Donald Trump.
Right.
That's a thing, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a big
all
thing.
All Republicans don't also, they're not, you know, tied in.
You're not tied to it. I'm not tied to Joe Biden or to Kamala Harris. I'm tied to this way of thinking or how our country should be run.
Different ways of thinking how to get there, right? Okay, so that's the difference between Democrats and Republicans. There we go.
Right.
But like, so if you're like a solid Donald Trump supporter and you hear him say, you know, is there going to be a peaceful transfer of power? Well, we'll see. What do you think when you hear that?
Right.
Do you think, yes, more of my man for however long? Or do you think, well, that doesn't sound right. Mm. And then what I don't get from many Donald Trump supporters who will be like, okay, that's not what he meant. What he meant was we're going to have to see about How
he's the are president.
You, how do you continue to find ways to explain and twist a situation from what he said.
Right.
How do you explain that to
because
someone?
Because if I got on the radio and said something offensive and then said, And then Holly, you were speaking for me and said, well, that's not what he meant. And then people would say, but you're on the radio. You are
you have
professional.
A responsibility.
Yes. Right. So you need to like watch what you say. That is the most powerful position in the world. Why are we not holding them to that standard? That's what I just, I'm going to, from the bottom of my heart.
I think if there's a solid Donald Trump supporter, they're probably not still listening.
They're probably not. But if you are.
If you stuck with it.
I literally would want you to come on and we could just ask you questions. I would not debate. This wouldn't be you're wrong. I would just be like, help me understand.
Right.
Help me understand this. Help me understand that. Maybe, or if you know someone, Scott, do you have like a contact for like the Young Republicans Club or something on USF?
I do.
I would just.
Why
do you say it like that?
It's just like, there's this guy like I generally liked when I was in college, but like I see his posts now and I think they're, you know, one of those that like through everything is still like. Trump train,
good.
Like
good.
Yeah. Right.
I would love to hear from that point of view. That's something other than either a meme as a response.
Right.
Or what happens is I see this a lot on Twitter and I had to mute a few people who tried to engage me in this sort of thing where you like a statement is made and then instead of addressing the statement, they go, but well, look at this.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Look at that. Focus. It's like trying to have like make a 4-year-old pay attention to like an instructional video.
Right.
No. My question is, how do you defend saying we'll see
right.
about a peaceful transition of power? What? No. Don't tell me about Joe Biden right now.
Mm-mm.
I know he a little like, you know, he's not everybody's favorite person.
Right.
But that's not what we're talking about.
Right. Because here's the thing. As someone who is a liberal and a Democrat and who plans on voting for Joe Biden, I can tell you the things that I'm not super comfortable with and the things that, you know, I've done my research and I've seen how he's changed positions on things. And yes, he's been a career politician. I think his heart's in the right place. But I think like most politicians, he has one flip-flopped on things because that would keep him in power. But right. I also think that times have changed and I think people can change. And I'm sure I will go back in 20 years and look at some of the stuff that I've said and done and be like, oh, my God, Miguel, what the hell were you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Totally understand that. But I can admit that
mm-hmm.
about the person that I'm voting for. I just want someone who is a Donald Trump supporter to be like, okay, so here's why I like him for this. I like him for this. I like him for this. And here's what I don't like. Or maybe you like everything, but as long as you're not trying to deflect, I just want to know honestly why. Because I was listening to NPR yesterday and they were in West Palm Beach and they were asking people about Donald Trump and these were minorities. And they were like, yeah, I like him. I'm going to vote for him. One of them because of abortion. And
that's
I forgot.
A big one. That is a big one for... like staunch Christian supporters.
Right, right.
Who feel like, and I will put my mom right into this group, there are literally no other issues.
Right.
And I don't know how on earth something that is a religious issue has become the foundation for political voting. But I mean.
Because people made it that way. Because because they've changed the wording from pro-life and pro-choice to like, I'm pro-life and you are pro-abortion.
Right.
You are pro-killing babies. Like,
right.
That's how they frame the discussion.
Yes.
And there's no ifs and buts about it. There's no, like
there can be no
right.
gray area.
Let's not actually take care of the kids that are in foster care or the people.
Everything you're saying
detention centers,
is blah, 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 going
and it's
in
just
one
like,
and out the other.
No, we don't care.
Nope. No.
But that's a whole nother discussion.
You don't. And, well, I was told I'm going to hell already, so it's fine. That's... That's
well, listen,
fine.
We all are.
I was told through an internet meme about, you know, Joe Biden being the devil that I'm going to hell. So I've secured my seat.
Girl.
Oh,
so that's fine.
Scott, are you driving the bus?
Hell no.
My person got so mad about that. And I was just like, I just sort of, it's like an eye roll to like my mother because I'm just like, I know my value. But he was so upset. He was like, you know, I struggle with that anyway,
right.
Like in my morality and in my being a good person, am I doing the right thing as often as I can? And to just hear that so flippantly put out because of like a voting procedure is very difficult for me to swallow. And I don't know how you're doing it so well. And I'm like, I think I just have to, it's almost like I now have to just ignore what she says.
Mm.
Yes.
Right.
And just deal with that because I'm sure it hurts somewhere. But at this point, I'm just like, what do you want from me?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that way when I see people that I know that, you know, have the Trump stuff up, and it hurts because it feels like you are literally turning your cheek and your ear and your heart to all these other issues. And like, these aren't just things, oh, this is a flippant issue. Like, you are turning an eye and making fun of my life and my morality and what could possibly happen. Like, it is very within the realm of possibility that if Trump picks a Supreme Court justice, and it's in the realm of possibility that if they are in, it's very conservative person, they could take away abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, gay marriage, that happened because of the Supreme Court. They could take that away.
Yeah. Yeah. These are things that are real things that can happen. And it's just, like, I just, like, it really frustrates me because I grew up in the church, you know? And it suddenly, it's like all of, I don't know how, well, it's all with a lot of, I do know how, actually. I don't know why I said that. I do know how. It's with a lot of misinformation and scare tactics and things like this and guilt and shame that have twisted people to feel like, especially Christianity, Donald Trump is your only Christian option.
Right.
If you are a believer in Christianity. Like, and I don't, and I'm like, why? I don't understand how things have gotten so off course that a man who, you know, said no immigrants, we don't want to see any immigrants coming through this country, and like, you know, doesn't care about like the earth necessarily, which I'm a proponent of, but like that's gotten lost in the conversation, climate change.
Right.
I was like, I don't know if science is right.
Right.
Okay. So all of this stuff that Christians are also called forth to care about, now suddenly it's like, okay, well, but yeah, but if you love Jesus, you also have to love Donald Trump.
Right. Which, by the way, Joe Biden has a very, very strong faith. And if you don't know his story, CNN did a great documentary which focuses on the good and bad of him and his political career.
Mm-hmm.
But like his wife and I believe one of his children died when he just got elected, and he almost didn't even end up going into Congress because it happened like right before he was sworn in.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk about how he carries a rosary around that his son had, that Bo, that passed away a few years ago from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very deep faith.
Right.
But because of memes on Facebook and because of talking points and people not doing their research, they don't know that.
It's lost.
It's very, very unfortunate. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not a person who's like, this candidate, ride or die. Absolutely not. But I know who I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, do you have anything?
Well, it blows my mind of where we're at in our country. Like, it just, I have these conversations with my dad a lot, and it's just like kind of just the echo chamber. We go back and forth for a quick minute, and I have to cut it off. But it's just like, we're supposed to be like America, like the country, the ones look to as the progressives that are constantly pushing to do the right thing. And it's just, this is just crazy to me to think of how divided, how polar opposite things could see. And I watched both like the sit down with the president where it was Donald Trump answering questions, sitting in there talking to different people, and I watched the same thing with Joe Biden. And again, like, I have family that is like, they're on, like, they are heavy Trump supporters, and it is very right now to even approach that subject, because it blows my mind when I've watched both candidates, I've listened to both of them speak, and you listen to how they answer questions, and it's just like one's here for a serious matter and the other one's just clowning around, just fucking up the presidency. And like, that, it's to me, like, we don't respect the highest position in our country. It's like, people act like it's a sports team. They're like, you know, they got their flags and yep. they're all rowdy about it. And it's like, guys, like, I know you're fired up because you found your little cult, but the bigger picture is, it's like, this isn't just your little team that you put up a flag. Like, this is somebody that could ruin people's lives. There are people literally fearful of their life if this person is to get elected another 4 years. That, to me, is terrifying. Like, that hurts my heart that it's like, it's 2020. We have so many things that we could be doing. We've come so far, and we're just taking so many steps back. And I remember when he first got elected, and, like, again, like, I didn't vote for him, but I was like, okay, how bad could it be? Like, four years, there's definitely a lot of fears. It's just, it's crazy to me because it just seems like every day it's just something more. And I'm just, I am curious on what it is that people are so attracted to. And I do have ideas because I've read a lot of things, and it's interesting going back in history because I read Obama's book when he was a senator, and, like, the things he talked about are now coming true. Like, the fears that he said, you know, a lot of, like, the strong, whatever, I won't even put a title on it, whatever candidates there were or whatever party they were affiliated with, there's very strategic strategies to, like, get people on their side.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're, and, like, he was literally like, hey, like, we cannot let this happen. We've come too far. We need to just, like, if we focus on this, we could be so much stronger.
Yeah.
And it is as bad as he described, you know, in 2004.
Mm.
And now it's 16 years later, and it's just like, what are we doing? What are we doing? I don't know.
It sucks because it's like, it's not just Donald Trump.
No.
He didn't do this by himself.
No.
So that's what sucks the most, is that, like, he gets the majority of, like, the ire and, like, the head scratching from the other side. But it's like, how has America been allowed to get to this position?
Yes, exactly.
Because we let people that had not the best interest of the country at hand take control of our parties. That's the problem, is that we've had people that we were set on this course after Barry Goldwater in the 60s.
I don't know about this.
This is one of the first like evangelical Christians that sort of took, you know, because Republicans back in the day, it was about smaller government, states' rights, that sort of thing. Leave me alone, strong military.
For sure.
And then when they started bringing in, you know, abortion and Christian and not wanting people adding rights to the Constitution and letting people do things with Barry Goldwater. And then from there, it just started. And then once Reagan was in office, that was like conservatives from back in the day. Like, that was like, they were like overjoyed. Like, that was the person that set forth this division in morality, and where it wasn't like, we agree that, well, let's do social programs should be a little bit different. Let's divert money from here to here, to, you want to tank our country. That's when that division started to happen.
Mm.
And it wasn't just we agree differently, but you all get to, like, build on what we've done so far. Now it's like, when we take over our party, we're like, well, we're going to take away everything you've done,
right,
build it up our way. And it's like, we can never progress forward because we just keep tearing down what the other party did.
It's a battleground of just like, okay, that 4 years didn't mean anything. Fresh, clean slate. Let's start from this way.
Right.
Like, that is just so anti, it's so counterintuitive.
It is just, we're in a sad state of affairs. But I will say, to end on a positive note, is the amount of civil engagement that I have seen has been very inspiring for people that have never voted, for people that didn't even know where to go vote, how to. I see them encouraging people to go vote and trying to get people to go vote and volunteering and donating.
Yeah.
So I will say, if there is a positive from all of this, is that this has, people are waking up and realizing that your vote is the most powerful tool you have in your arsenal in making change.
Yeah.
That is more powerful than me giving $5 to the candidate I want. You going to vote, that is the strongest weapon that you have, and not just in a presidential election. I'm talking about when there are primaries, when you're voting on who's the school board and who's the mayor. Everything you do in your life is tied to that vote that you cast whenever there is an election.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't take that away from us, then we're fucking doomed. So if you're not registered to vote, go do it.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm off my soapbox.
Okay.
I'm tired. I'm taking off my preacher's robe. Done. Scott, what's all your social media?
Hey, at Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin.
Mine is Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller. You can find me everywhere. You can also send me an email if you want some Miguel and Holly stickers. Miguel at Hot1015TampaBay.com. Holly, what's your social media where people can find your beautiful face?
Hey, Radio Holly. Radio Holly on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
All right, bye.
Catch up with the previous episodes of the Miguel and Holly Uncensored podcast from Hot 101.5.
Just hit up the Hot 101.5 app, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Search Miguel and Holly Uncensored.